If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today we have our quarterly State of Every Real Housewives franchise episode, where we check in on all 9 of the currently active Real Housewives shows to see how they're doing. Normally, this would have been our Friday episode, but there have been a lot of interview opportunities lately that I can't pass up because so many Real Housewives are on Bravo right now and shows are coming back. It's an exciting time to be a Bravo fan. So this is hitting you as a little hump day treat this week. For these State of the Union-esque conversations, we start with the franchises that are airing, then go to the ones that are coming up, the ones that are filming, and then get to the ones that aren't airing or filming. So the ones that are sort of up in the air. I always like to have a true expert on the subject matter onto the show for these all-important episodes. So I invited Entertainment Tonight's Chief Housewives correspondent, Bryce Sander, back onto the show for today's episode. We had a great chat about all the franchises, and he had some really great nuggets of input that nobody else could have brought. So that was an absolute added bonus to the conversation. Keep listening for my State of the Real Housewives with Bryce Sander. Give him a follow at Bryce Sander on social media to get all of his incredible Real Housewives interviews. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. Today we're gabbing with Bryce Sander from Entertainment Tonight. Bryce is one of the most prominent Housewives experts out there, and I'm thrilled to have him on Gabbing with Gib again today. We are doing our quarterly State of the Real Housewives franchises with Bryce, where we go through each of the 9 active franchises and just sort of like check in, assess where they are. If they're airing, we're talking about what we're seeing. If they're filming, what we've heard. And if they're off the air, what's going on with them. So Bryce, thanks for hopping on today. How are you?
I'm great. Excited to dive in. I just realized there are 9 like this week. So it's very bizarre. Like somebody was like, how many are there? And I went, oh, there are 9.
Nine. And, you know, I feel like it's been an interesting year because it started off really strong. Like it was sort of like the sort of result of the backloading of last year where like around BravoCon, all these seasons premiered. So it kind of came into 2024. And then we had this moment where it was the first time since Obama was president where no Housewives were on at all for just a couple weeks there. But then it sort of led into this like kind of quieter summer for Housewives in general. Like it was the Jersey thing that people were hot and cold on, Dubai and then OC, which is doing well. But that was sort of the only one people were really talking about, it felt like. And then we're like going into this fall where like there's a ton happening all of a sudden again. What do you make about 2024 in the Housewives universe?
It's been a wild roller coaster because it was, I wonder if Bravo will do what they did again. Like, I understand marketing thought around like BravoCon's happening, launch all the shows, but it was also like too much at that point, it felt like, where it was an oversaturation of the space. And I'm scared we're going to be in oversaturation again in about 2 weeks' time once Potomac's there and we've got Salt Lake City, Orange County, Potomac and the new New York airing. So I'm interested to see what the kind of like numbers and reaction is and feedback is to the shows all airing again, because it does seem that when there are more than maybe two on the air at a time, people who might be Housewives viewers pick and choose what they're willing to watch, and kind of now that everything's on Peacock, we'll wait maybe till the whole season's out and binge it rather than week to week it.
That's a good point. I feel like when that happens, there are a couple that are sort of like kind of rise to the top in terms of just the converse, like the kind of portion of the conversation that they can command, you know? And so I'm curious what that will be. I'm assuming that Salt Lake would be one of those because it just is, it's operating at a different level, but that's a good point. And I also feel like something I've noticed this year, Bryce, and I'm not sure if it's something you've heard about or if you noticed too, is sort of like, there are definitely less leaks that happen in seasons that have been filming recently. And like, I always think of that as a good thing, that, you know, I'd rather be surprised and not feel like I know what's going on in the season before it premieres. Have you felt that? Was that a mandate? Like, what do you know about that?
I don't know if it was an official mandate. I think season four of Salt Lake City was like a new blueprint of, look, these women were a vault. They kept this huge twist a secret. It had an enormous payoff. And I think whether it was an official Bravo or production mandated thing, or just the women realizing, oh, this show got so much attention because they kept it a secret, it was super helpful. I think there's also been cast changes on a lot of these shows, and you can kind of look at who's not there and did stories come out or not. Not to blame anything on anybody, but there was that big shift on like Beverly Hills when Rinna left. Who knows if it's related or not, but there weren't leaks. More exciting. I don't like to go into a season going, okay, when we know this is going to happen, when's it going to happen? So I'm excited about, like, we don't really know what happens in New York. We don't really know what happens in Potomac. We don't know what happens in the Beverly Hills season that's in the can. Like, that's all like thrilling to me.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Okay, so let's go franchise by franchise. We're going to start with the ones that are airing. OC's been on the longest right now. It's sort of in the back half of its season. I think it's having a great season. The temperature is high, especially around the Alexis and John stuff, especially around Tamra as well, kind of related but also separately. How have you been feeling? You've done a lot of interviews this season. Where's your mind?
I think it's a phenomenal season, and it's interesting. There is this almost clear division of people who think what's being aired is the reality and people who think it's skewed within the cast. Because so I just sat down with Gina and Emily.
Great interview.
And they very unfiltered about Alexis, because Alexis Instagrammed and then deleted this sort of mea culpa. I'm getting a bad edit and I would hate me too if I were you. Just kind of like this word vomit of protect yourself and don't, like, you're doing more harm than good by putting this out into the universe. And I thought their comments on you cannot blame the edit, while they might be able to piece together like phrases of things or kind of truncate the experience, they're not inventing the experience. Like, the production is not creating stuff out of nowhere. What we saw on TV, you did in real life.
It's not AI. Yeah, exactly.
It's not AI. And they didn't like take out some big twist that would have cleared your name. So I think it's a great season. I'm interested to see. I like when a cast stays consistent. So as much hate as Alexis has gotten, I would hate to see another year where we like churn and burn somebody. There also is so much story potential with her going into a season 19 of wedding and where the lawsuit and all that lands. So story potential wise, I think she's good. Whether she's down to do this again, I don't know. She seems like, by what she's saying, it sounds like she is. It's her career, according to her.
So right, exactly.
She seems interested in continuing. So they film reunion in like 2 weeks, I think. And so I think that's also why a lot of stuff is kind of popping up right now. People are trying to get certain commentary out there so that they can point to it when they sit down all together. I'm interested to see how Tamra is at reunion, because
Me too.
I do think she went into this season thinking she was on the right side of history. I think she filmed the whole season thinking that, and then it comes out and the audience feels a different type of way. And I do think she was like in this weird place where she was having conversations with the other women about Shannon, and they were essentially yes-anding her. Like, other than the big explosive, like, hey, that was too far, but like the overall concern and thoughts about Shannon were shared by the other women in private. But then when they're with Shannon, it's a different story. So I'm interested to see how Tamara navigates that and if she sees her own actions any differently. And if she also calls the other women out at all for kind of playing both.
Too. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel like Tamara, I agree. It's sort of a reflection of like the how fans initially took the DUI news from Shannon versus like how they are now, which is like it just feels like she's being kicked while she's down. But I think Tamara, like you said, went in based on that initial reaction from the viewers. And it kind of points to it being a dangerous game to sort of playing to how you think what you think the right side of history will be in terms of how people are going to view the show. And I think that with the Alexis thing, what's interesting, and I don't know if you can point to any sort of like historical precedent for this, but like she's really directly calling out production in her kind of claim that, you know, the edit is, you know, not in her favor, and she's going to go on Instagram and like post what really happened during these tapings. And that's a dangerous game to play too, if she does want to return, because I agree, she has a lot of story to talk about, but calling out production who makes those decisions, I don't know.
Yeah, well, she took down the post, and I haven't seen her release any of the like
got it
things she threatened yeah. to put out there. So maybe a conversation was had. I do think that would, from what I know, would be like a breach of contract to essentially be talking about all that stuff. I don't know if there's like a one-to-one parallel on any other show where people feel the same, but I don't think it's a winning game to blame the people who are responsible for the show for how you're coming across. I think she's done a little bit of a disservice. She claims she talked about other things and we're only seeing the Shannon and John of it all, but she talked about them a lot. Like whether there was more or not, it seems like this was the majority of what she was speaking about. Like even if it was like a 70-30 split, 70% of your conversations revolving around these two people is a lot. And I think she did herself a little bit of a disservice. I understand she wants to protect. She has a son who is trans and she hasn't really fully acknowledged
that.
And she speaks around it in a way. And I'm sure that's like a conversation she had with her son and maybe what his comfortability was. But I think it would have done her like a great service to be more open and honest, trademark Kyle Richards, about that topic in the way that we've seen, like Heather's done it in such a respectful way to kids. It's never like crossing a line or feels like she's parading them out in any way. But to speak so kind of like around it and theoretically about it instead of being like, here's like my lived experience and what I'm going through, I think that really shifted her worldview. She was such, you know, she got the name Jesus Jugs for a reason, was a very like conservative traditional woman.
Yes.
Famously said she would not like to see a woman in the White House while she was on the show. And strangely, Gretchen Rossi was like, not for that. And she now has very different political views. So people change, people grow and evolve. And I think had she shown us that side of herself more, I think the reception from the audience would be very different.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting. I agree. And I think it's so interesting that like Heather in particular, but also Tamara are sort of, they're kind of dying on this hill. Like they're still really defending Alexis pretty intensely. And so there has to be some truth to that, but I agree. It's like only to a certain extent. So obviously OC is in a great spot where a lot sort of hinges on this reunion and how they all kind of come into it. I mean, the reversal that this franchise has done in the past couple of years has been really, really strong, and they should be really good about that.
Very strong. I'm interested to see kind of the Katie conversation at reunion too.
Me too.
Again, it's like the cast is very split on her, and Heather, Gina, and Emily seem to not trust her at all. Heather and Gina said Heather calls her a grifter and kind of agreed with that. A number of headlines have come out about her past, which I've seen commentary online that people think it's like smear campaign orchestrated by her ex-husband. And maybe it is. But I hope they bring it up so she gets a chance to respond to it, because we have not heard from her at all on this kind of what's becoming a laundry list of allegations that don't paint her in a great light. And she seems like a great person. Like,
right.
She'd be a great housewife. I'd also love like, why could you not let the paparazzi thing?
Let the mouse go. Yes, I know. I know. But I do think she has potential. So I agree. Again, coming into that reunion, let's see how she handles it. All right, the other one that is airing, Bryce, right now, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Obviously, it's just gearing up, but they're just firing on all cylinders. I mean, everybody's clocking in. It's delivering the drama, the humor. They're mixing it up. I mean, I'm presuming you agree with all of that, that it's just been such a strong start.
I'm just like, where do they keep finding these people in Salt Lake? Brittany and Bronwyn are absolute characters in the best way, in two very different ways. I hope we get confessionals from Mei Li because she's there, but I'm like
confused.
I'd love to meet you. Mary Cosby back and just like being her absolutely unserious, unfiltered self is such a dream.
Strong form from her.
Very, very strong form. No, it's like when Jen left, I think people questioned, well, what's the show with? Now, Jen, the Monica thing happened. Monica leaves. People are like, what are we going to do? Like, we can't keep having these, like, the main instigator ousted. And now I don't know who the main instigator is. It's like they're having to figure out a new dynamic, but it's working.
And they're all kind of being instigators, which I think it kind of hammers home that, like, this cast is pretty unique in that they all kind of can serve different roles, I think, in the cast at different points, and they're all not afraid of the conflict, which I think is so important and just puts them on a different level from everybody else, I think, right now.
Yeah. The only person who's had like a consistent role is Heather being essentially the narrator of the show. I saw somebody comment that like they want somebody else to get that role, but I'm like she's the only person in that lineup who can carry that weight. I don't think anybody else could speak to all sides.
And I think it's important for her to sort of stay in that. She's not like complete Switzerland at all points, like sort of a Dolores, but like she is a bridge between
of the group.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
she calls Whitney a liar, but she's still hanging out with her.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I thought it was interesting. We got recently the news that Monica is going to be a narrator on House of Villains, which is obviously, I mean, I think it's interesting from the perspective of like, it's an NBCU property. It's airing on E. And that to me obviously signifies that she has maintained somewhat of a good relationship with the parent network, which obviously can maybe bode well for a potential return in the future. Did you read it that way or no? Or is that presumptuous?
I read it as NBCU is interested in her as talent. I think they're going to have a hard time reinserting herself into Salt Lake City, given the very strong feelings. But, you know, that means if Ultimate Girls Trip ever comes back, we could toss her on there. Traitors, we could toss her on there. You know, she fired back at the false allegations that she was denied the Traitors for different reasons. So I think she's good TV. I've seen the first couple episodes of the new season of House of Villains. I would love to know the timeline of when she got involved, because they very much could have like post-production just slid her in there. There's like one comment in the premiere of The Voice comes on and Teresa's like, it's different than last season, but it's not like it's Monica, or there's no acknowledgement that.
It's giving later edition to me. Yeah. And, you know, I think what I love about the show is that we have this kind of Potomac-esque core four of Whitney, Heather, Lisa, and Meredith. But now we also have, I mean, Mary's kind of been, she's been full-time, she's been a friend, she's been a guest, but now she's full-time again. right, exactly. But Angie is the person who has really kind of rocketed up to, I mean, now she's center snowflake this season. I think even just after these first two episodes, the conversation around her is so positive, and people like, it was almost like the sense that people want to root for her to get to this spot after kind of, when she was a friend, she was like kind of grating, but she figured it out, which I think can be celebrated.
And she went through casting for season one and then again for season two. Didn't get it twice. So she was like beaten down by the process, came back for season three, and finally got the friend of spot. I do think the way they do it on Salt Lake City, I don't know this for sure, but it seems like they bring in these women and it's almost like
auditioning Hunger Games in real time.
Like, get your snowflake. Like, I think that's what happened. I think Bronwyn, Brittany, and Mei Li were all kind of in the running for a full-time spot. Bronwyn got it. I think there may have been two, and I think it was supposed to be Brittany's, and Mary snagged her snowflake back based on kind of like my reading of
good for Mary M. Cosby. Yeah, that makes sense.
Much the opening sequence of the season, there's no narration from Mary Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the shot of the women, like that spiraling shot. It's Brittany in the formation, not Mary.
That's a good call, Bryce.
And also Brittany, we've flashed back to like solo scenes of her. So there's proof evidence that she
maybe had a snowflake at one point.
Well, she's going to deliver the drama this season. So I agree. Bronwyn and Brittany, great. I mean, it's, we have this core, we have these sort of like quasi OGs, and then we have these newbies that are going to deliver this season, it feels like. So Salt Lake City.
Set up for the future.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The one that's coming up next is Roni, the second season of the reboot. I just finished watching the premiere. I think it's a good premiere. I don't think it's an amazing premiere. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you've watched it. What were your thoughts on this first episode that we're getting from them?
I love the way it opens. There's a cold open. That's something we really haven't seen before on the show.
Yes.
Whereas we're in a place we've never gone before on a Housewives show. So I think that is an interesting setup. It's like this New York is glossier. It feels like, it's like, it's not a tabloid. It's an editorial sort of approach to Housewives.
Even the press they do, it's like they're all doing all the magazine kind of video series and stuff like that.
So it just has a different energy. And it, like, in that sense, it doesn't always line up with how the rest of the like canon feels. And I think it's tricky because it's like, it's making it different. It's making it stand out. But is it standing out too much from the people who know and love the franchise and kind of look at it as comfort food? I think they have great characters. Like we learned last year, Jessel, tank superstar.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm concerned about Jenna and what she's willing to give the show. It's in the trailer, so this isn't a spoiler, but like she films with her now fiance's mom, but not her fiance. And I'm like, I understand protecting your peace, but if you want to protect your peace, maybe reality TV is not the place for you. But she looks like she gets a little messier this year from all the sneak.
Yes.
I interviewed the newbies together, so Raquel and Rebecca, and they seem like they bring some interesting energy. I'm interested to see where it goes, but it could go, this is great, taking off, or it could be like, are these manufactured fights for the show?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to Rebecca in a second, because that recent quote that she gave, I was not happy about.
I have.
Okay, well, let's get to it now.
This will be in the interview that comes out. She feels she was misquoted and she was joking and that was never a real conversation and that the reporter misrepresented what she was saying. So her lesson learned is don't joke with the press.
Okay, that's an interesting takeaway. Classic sort of blaming the media for the, you know. I still think that there's sort of in a Jenna Lyons-esque way, honestly, even like maybe worse than Jenna, I think is like she's coming in just to sort of promote the brand is what my read from it is. I have not spoken to her, just sort of all the clips
what
that
I
I've
asked
seen.
I asked her like, why would you sign yourself up for reality TV after kind of being a public figure for 20 years? And she goes, I love to meet my client wherever she is. And she's a watcher of the show, like very brand talk. And I think that's how we get to all the conversations about her business, which maybe she'll like, maybe she won't like. I think, you know, it's that Bethany Frankel equation of like people are trying to be her, but no one's ever going to touch what she did. So stop trying to chase that dragon.
Right. Totally. And I feel like it speaks to what you were saying earlier about this sort of being just like a slightly different franchise than the rest right now. In that, like, I think kind of laddering up in that is even in the premiere, there's a lot of talk about like on camera and off camera and like, you know, what things are said and what's brought up in front of the cameras. And there's like a really overt awareness of how they're all coming across, which that's just such a slippery slope, I think. And they're still all in their heads about it, which I understand. And I have some empathy for, but like, that's not how the best Housewives stuff is made.
No, I think they were, it was like a disservice to them in season one that we were fed what has come out to be a lie, that they were an organic group of friends who knew each other. They were largely people who had, at best, acquaintance-like connections, which they all then acknowledged by season's end. I think as people were kind of realizing, like, why are we watching people getting to know each other? I thought we were meeting a whole new group of friends. And I think had we entered the reboot with that honesty of, like, let's break the fourth wall. Like, we're making a TV show and we found these personalities and we think they work well together. You're going to watch them become a friend group. They're not a friend group. And so I think they're navigating that conversation still. It's like, it's out, but it's not out because it's the show. And so it's this weird push and pull of like, if the show went away tomorrow, would these women be in each other's lives? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to read. It really is hard to read. And I think I think a lot about like what they could do to get sort of the broader, very vocal, at least online fan base, like really plugged into this and really kind of celebrating the show versus like sort of dunking on the show. That to me is sort of the prevailing sentiment. And like, I like a lot of these women. I think it has a lot of promise, but it's just there's a blockage and it's hard to pinpoint it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think the audience needs to let go the OG.
I agree.
Like, that's the issue. It's like, it was like the greatest Real Housewives for the longest time. That ensemble will never be touched. But that show, it came crumbling down for like a number of reasons. The main reason to me is all of those women, like the legacy women who had been on for a long time, their entire lives became about the show. So when you only have the show to show on the show, there is no show. Like, you can't make the show just about making the show, which is what it was becoming.
Yeah, I'm with you. So we'll see how the second season goes. I mean, I, and I'm calling it second season. It's actually season 15. But to me, it's season 2 of the reboot. You know,
it feels like they could have like reset it. And it's like, it's a different show. And I think that also.
I agree.
Done something differently.
All right. The next one that's going to come is Potomac. Obviously, it's coming off of a rough season. They're worst yet, I would say, kind of objectively speaking. We've lost 3 housewives. We're gaining several new women. I liked the vibe of the premiere. I thought it was a pretty refreshed energy. It's like, to me, Potomac just does its best when the temperature's a little bit lower and the vibes are high and the laughs are kind of happening. Well,
it's a comedic franchise on its
yes.
heart.
Yes, totally. So did you watch the premiere and what are your first thoughts about it?
I've seen the premiere. Once again, an opening we've never seen before.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's camp. It's very much camp.
It's ripped off of like Snapped on Oxygen. I don't know what happened there. I thought it was like a good entry point. I think that the thing that is tough on Potomac is it's like it's almost like they reset every season. It's like we never are picking up a thread from last year. It's like these people were at war last year, but now they're at lunch and we are not talking about why they were at war. And so I think there's a little bit of that should be stretched out. But I also understand on the flip side, not wanting to revisit old drama because that gets tiring. So I've spoken with 2 of the women so far this season, and they both said that the new housewife, Stacey, is a combination of Mary Cosby and Katie Rost.
Wow. That is a lethal combo.
That's an intense comparison and not the vibe I got from the trailer nor her introduction in the premiere. So I am
me neither.
Fascinated to see how it gets to that place.
It's also funny that you say Mary Cosby and Katie Ross because it's like, I was expecting the second name to be more of a balanced out person.
Right.
But those are both over here.
When it came out, I was like, because the first person who brought that up was Wendy, and she could not think of Katie's name. And I was like, give me clues. Let me help you. And she finally got there. And she was, and I was like, oh, I have no response to that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think I never really thought about the idea that there's never really been much of a through line between the seasons for Potomac. And I feel like with Wendy and Giselle, they should lean into that. I don't know, like, because they have this, like, kind of fraught history. They were friends at first, and then they weren't friends, and, like, in a really intense way. But now these 2 other people have been pulled out. Like, both their biggest allies are not part of the group anymore. Yeah. And that's a really compelling setup, I think. Like, see what happens when they have to face each other.
I think we will see that from what Wendy...
Good.
I want to give away the whole interview, but we got into that and her kind of response to the fans who were calling her fake and phony when the trailer dropped due to the Giselle friendship that's featured. And she has a pretty good response to that commentary.
Good, good. Well, I feel like there's not much else to say about Potomac because, again, we don't really know what's happening this season.
Seems like we're not at like the height of Potomac in that premiere, but we're back to like early days. Like the energy feels right. The cast feels like it gels. It doesn't seem like there's some weird outlier or somebody performing Housewives. So I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be an explosive season by any means, but there's only one way for them to go.
Wendy also told me that there's something that is not in the trailer that is going to shock us when it comes, and it's between 2 women whose relationship may be a wreck of, like, can't bounce back from here.
Really?
She was shocked it wasn't in the trailer.
Huh. Okay. So maybe that means it happened to the second half or something.
It must be saved for midseason.
Wow. Wow. I'm twiddling my.
But also,
oh my God.
With the grain of salt that Housewives, when they're promoting the season at the very beginning, they usually throw a little.
Those are strong words. Those are strong words.
The other one I talked to backed it up. So.
Okay. All right. That's a good tease. All right. I think next will probably be Beverly Hills. I think that's the next one that's going to air. We haven't gotten a trailer. We haven't seen much footage, not much leaked. I remember seeing some fan video of like Dorit and Kyle having strong words at some party at some point, but like mostly, again, kind of a big question mark. Obviously, we know we're getting Dorit and PK talk. They are divorcing, and that wasn't a big surprise to many people. But Andy keeps saying that Dorit is locked in. Dorit is activated. So I'm hoping that that's not empty hype. I feel like that I'd like to see an activated Dorit.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like a season 7 Dorit. He told ET that fans will get the answers they want on the Dorit front and the Kyle Mauricio Morgan front this year. So I'm interested to see what all comes out and how what those answers actually are, because they might not be the answers people want to hear. Or it's all talked about. I met Boz at Sutton, had like a filmed fashion show, the one where Kathy Hilton stormed.
Oh, yeah.
And she seems like a good addition who also has strong opinions. Jennifer Tilly is going to be God knows what on the show, but I always like Beverly Hills. People are, it gets mixed reviews, I feel like, from the fans, because it's usually a slower paced Housewives, but I think that's nice. We don't always have to live in the space of going to court and to prison and all that kind of stuff.
No, I love Beverly Hills. I think that it feels like one of the shows that the most people in my life watch, you know, it feels like the most, almost like the, I think in addition to Salt Lake City, it feels like water cooler Housewives, you know, and
probably taken the ratings crown from Atlanta used to be the number one, and Beverly Hills for the last like 3 years has been the most watched Housewives.
Right. Totally. And yeah, so I feel like there's, again, it's a big question mark. I think what's interesting about kind of coming from last season to this season is that one of the sort of threads that we were following towards the end of last season and into the off season when they were filming is that on Buying Beverly Hills season 2, we got so many more answers from Mauricio and the daughters when it pertained to their split and sort of what happened there. I took that one of two ways. I thought it was sort of like that was filmed slightly later in the process, so there were more developments in that, but there was genuine feedback on like the differing levels of sort of openness. But now that show has been canceled. So I wonder if that has any sort of impact on what we're going to get from Kyle.
Yeah. Well, when I spoke to Kyle and then I spoke with Mauricio and the girls, they all were, who knows if it was like the family party line of this is what we've agreed is the answer, but they were all clear that the filming timeline of Buying Beverly Hills was more realistic to when everything was unfolding versus Beverly Hills stuff didn't really happen until cameras went down. And then they went back up to film that family meeting scene. It'll also be interesting to see, like, will we see Mauricio on the new season? I think he moved out around the time they started filming this season. So
mm-hmm.
TBD.
Yeah. Okay.
Talk to your specialist about Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum toxin A, because Botox Cosmetic Day is back on November 20th. For one day only, buy one $50 gift card, get one free, while supplies last. It gets better because it's not just one day of celebration, but the whole month of November. Refer a friend to Ali and you'll both get $50 off a Botox cosmetic treatment. Plus, if you register and get treated during November 1st to 30th, you have the chance to win $10,000. For prescribing information and box warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes entry. Treatment must occur by 12/6. For full official rules, offer terms and conditions, and to join Ali, visit BotoxCosmeticDay.com.
Max Bankman, I'm the new doctor.
Welcome aboard the Odyssey.
ABC Thursdays.
This ship is heaven. We're tending to our passengers' dreams.
I'm in.
From 911 executive producer Ryan Murphy comes a splashy new drama on a luxury cruise ship with Joshua Jackson and Don Johnson.
It's your job to keep everyone alive.
She's in VFib. 1, 2, 3. Clear.
I have a pulse.
You're going to be okay.
Dr. Odyssey, Thursdays, 9, 8 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
All right, Atlanta. This is this is an interesting one because this upcoming season was supposed to right the ship. It was Portia's big return. Cynthia's back as a friend. We have some new additions, sort of like a quasi, like half reshuffle of the cast. And then shit hits the fan. And this whole thing happens with Kenya. What was your initial reaction to all that happening?
My initial reaction is that meme that's going around of the last year's cast photo of just Drew being left and people being like, how did we get here?
The only one returning.
Well, I do think Drew has been good for the show. The last two seasons, we wouldn't have had much had it not been for her. I still haven't like fully processed what happened, and I kind of want to see how they air it. Like, are they going to try and cut Kenya completely out of the season?
How can they do that?
Kind of like mid filming, but I feel like we don't have clear answers on what exactly happened and how she crossed the line. I think it all came down to like language in the contracts, essentially. And I think Kenya maybe was given an opportunity to stick around and ultimately opted out of coming back. But it's tough stuff. And Phaedra just this week at Dancing with the Stars told ET that essentially the way she got back on Housewives is Portia called her up and said, we need someone to come save us.
Which tells you a lot. I really hope they don't cut the Kenya stuff out. I think that's also like, yeah, it's tough, but I also think that like, if they were to tease that in like in the right way and sort of promise that we'll see some of that, like
viewers know it happened. So to not in any way, shape or form would be so bizarre and such a disservice to the fans because then the show would feel so inauthentic.
And also like, it's a kind of a calling card for people to tune in. You know what I mean? Like the ratings have gone down for Atlanta, like sometimes you need a splashy moment to get people to tune back into the show. And if we're going to see sort of a flame out from Kenya from apparently crossing a line up to interpretation, whatever, I want to see that kind of. And it's also like you have to imagine that Portia's first scene was kind of meeting up with Kenya.
Yeah.
You know, so they can't cut her out. They can't.
So I'm like tepidly optimistic about this season of Atlanta. I do think having Frick and Frack back together is good. I'm interested to see how the transition for Phaedra works from Married to Medicine into Atlanta, and if like they either borrow scenes and footage from Married to Medicine to fill out her story, or if she was secretly filming for longer than we knew, or she films, you know, a lot of like fill-in stuff after the fact to make it seem like she was there all along. Like, those are the questions I have. We don't really know much about the newbies other than Britt being on the receiving end of whatever Kenya did and people thinking she's the one largely responsible for the fall of Kenya Moore. And Angela Oakley has been posting a lot of what people are reading as shady stuff about Phaedra because her husband was previously on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
So she's like reposting like stuff when he was on the show. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's hard for me to imagine that a show with Portia and Phaedra on it is not one that I want to watch. It's not one that I don't want to watch. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see that on TV. They were great on Watch What Happens Live on that special. Like,
and there's the organic stuff of like Shamia. We've known her for years. She's been locked into Portia's life for years. So I'm excited. She finally has a peach. She seems to have like a very rich, luxe life, both like literally and figuratively. So I'm excited for that. And, you know, NeNe Leakes is seemingly back in good graces with the NBC Universal family. So if this
you read my mind
or, you know, take it, if this isn't going to get us back on the track, maybe I don't think Atlanta's going to go away, but maybe, you know, NeNe comes back next year.
Yeah, it's almost just like they needed a couple years to like mix and match almost. And the personalities are there. And you're just so people are aware, Bryce is referencing NeNe was co-hosting a Emmys after show for E, which was an unexpected development. So
yes, and she posted a whole thing about like how great it is to be back in the fold. And, you know, there were signs that we were headed that way after she did the Bethany Frankel interview. They announced they were going to do a podcast together and then that podcast never came. And NeNe wiped all the Bethany stuff from all of her socials.
TBD on Atlanta, but I'm with you. I think I'm cautiously optimistic. Okay, Miami. We're finally having cameras back up down in Miami after a 5 month break.
So long?
Bryce, that was my question for you. What took so long? We missed so many life events for these women over in the spring and into the summer. There was one report, I think there's one that sort of hinted at a cash shakeup that never really seemed to happen. What happened?
My curiosity is, were they attempting to do like a big casting pool and see if there was some other women to incorporate or like some shaking up of what roles people were in? And maybe they couldn't find people that were like as good as the women they already have. They have such a phenomenal cast on that show. I also think, and this is just my theory, but I think Bravo, we've watched a lot of these shows film at the same time of year for like year after year after year. And I think moving the time of year in which they're filming then generates new story. There's different events, different like tent poles in life that are happening. So we're seeing different things. And I think that can help refresh the shows that sometimes feel a little stale. Not that Miami was feeling stale. So I don't know, but from what we know, as far as like what's come out there, there's not new people. It's still early. I think they've been filming like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Sadly, Dr. Nicole will not be with us. I think there's hope that she'll kind of pop in and out and make appearances and maybe be a friend of, from kind of the chatter I've heard, but she's protecting her mental health and her family. So good on her. And I think whenever she's ready to come back, the mojito will be waiting.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the most kind of open doors for somebody to return that I can remember in a long time. Like, it's basically like, when you want to be a housewife again, come back and we'll have you, basically.
I think essentially what was happening is Page Six put out that story, but I think there were still like active contract negotiations and talks going on. And then ultimately, like 2 days later, Nicole announced. But all the wording is very specific.
Open. Yeah.
It's very not, you won't see me, or I'm not going to be a part of the show. It's, I'm not full time.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, Bryce, if like, I mean, so Nicole's not going to be a housewife this season. Does that leave open an opportunity for somebody like Kiki?
The rise of Kiki Barth.
I hope it means that she can have a greater role on the show, because it's gotten bigger and bigger over the past three seasons. She's such a fan favorite. The cast seems to love her. She's back in good graces with Larsa. Like,
Miami's fascinating because they have Kiki, Adriana, and Marisol all as friends, but they all seemingly film as much as full time. Yeah. They're featured in personal scenes kind of as much as full time. We haven't gotten so much of Kiki's personal life, but I know she like wants people to see her kids and see her as a mom on the show. So it's that show kind of is rewriting the rules of what it means to be like, you know, we had Emily on OC yell at Alexis, "You're a friend."
Right.
But it's like, did that at Adriana on Miami, it would not carry weight, because it's like, okay, take her out. Who's going to like,
good luck with the show. Right. Exactly. Totally. No, if Kiki were to sort of rise up, to me, it would sort of remind me of an Angie situation where it's like people were sort of rooting for her and she would get that mojito. So it would be a big moment for Miami if they were to do that. So I hope something kind of moves there.
And I'm interested to see like Todd and Alexia, are they or aren't they splitting up, and whatever Larsa has to say about the end of Marcus, and I'm sure there'll be commentary on those photos that came out.
Yeah.
Him having a little ski fun.
Lisa and Lenny is still kind of being mad.
When he's breaking up with the fiance, but now they're like back to flirting in the Instagram comments. There's so much.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say is like, getting to your earlier point about sort of, you know, there were so many housewives airing at the end of last year, beginning of this year, them delaying Miami, taking that 5 month break. They're the only ones filming right now. So it's like, they're going to fill a hole in the programming schedule next year. That's necessary. So that's also probably part of it.
They might get their moment to shine where it's
which would be great.
Like, always been on when something else is having like a really big season. And so it's, even though they've had three strong seasons in a row, there hasn't been as much attention paid to them.
Yeah. All right, last two, Bryce. These two, there's probably less to talk about because there's probably less updates. But Jersey, it's coming off of this season that I actually enjoyed watching for the most part.
It was
surprising. Fans felt strongly about it. Yeah, fans like were dunking on it a lot, though.
I thought it worked. I don't think it's just like, as the last time I was on your podcast, I gave a quote up that Andy Cohen had given to me that turned into a whole thing about the show not being...
Oh my God, yeah.
And I think that stands. Like, I don't think they could have done what they did this past season again. me, the solution would be, I know people really identify Teresa as Housewives. Give her her own show. Like, yeah. I would be happy to watch a Don't Be Tardy with Teresa, Louie, and the girls. I think, like, she's outgrown the ensemble because, like, so much, she's been on it so long that she's in such the central focus that they might bring her back. I don't know. But bringing her back, to me, sets it up for, like, everything to center around Teresa again. And we have to, like, expand that universe because, as we've seen, like, Teresa doesn't like people coming at her. She's not going to, like, it's just going to be conflict. And it's like, if we want fun, move her to her own show where she can have fun. And she's obviously, like, in good graces with NBC. She's on House of Villains. I'm sure she will film a season of The Traitors at some point. So that, to me, would be the solution. And then New Jersey, whether you have then, like, two options, you either, like, take that sort of group that is still friendly of, I know people feel a certain type of way, but I do think it's almost like vocal people on Elon Musk's
net,
not the actual fan.
Me too.
General audience view, but, like, then have Margaret, Melissa, Jen, Rachel, Danielle,
Dolores
carry on the show with, like, a couple new people, at least do a season of that. Then, you know, does this group work or not? But I don't know what they'll do. And I think I don't think we'll see New Jersey back till, like, 2026 at the earliest.
Wow. That's just crazy to think about. But that's what you just said is also how I feel would be just it would make the most sense. It just really would. It would appease, actually, I think eventually it would appease the Teresa fans. Again, the vocal, I think, minority.
They call it the Teresa show. So we will give you the Teresa show. You can go watch that.
Right. And it's like, you know, it's been framed by Andy and by Bravo as, like, we need to change something here. Like, this is broken. And, like, to me, that is why it's broken, because we're sort of a stick in the mud and we're not moving. And if you take that stick out, then we can move freely again. So,
like, the kind of slumber party event they had.
Yeah.
I was like, show me that stuff. Like, get a little drunk, have a little fun. And, like, let's stop fighting about their, like, too serious, too deep cutting stuff. Like, that's not what the shows are meant to be.
I also think that on Salt Lake City, Meredith made a really good point on the premiere, where it was sort of like, because Monica took up so much of the oxygen in the room and so much of the conversation, especially at the reunion, so many of the smaller sort of percolating issues weren't addressed. And I kind of think that if you took Teresa out of the equation on Jersey, some of those probably simmering issues with the rest of the women that we probably don't really get to hear about would percolate and we would hear about them.
Right. Well, it's like the thing of stuff that would be a whole season of drama on Beverly Hills is, like, one episode on New Jersey kind of stuff. And it's like, we have to meet somewhere in the middle. And you know what? Then if that experiment doesn't work next season, bring Teresa back and rebuild the show around her.
Totally. All right. Lastly, Dubai, which just ended its second season. I think it was a pretty solid second season, but I think that they weren't set up to succeed in terms of kind of growing viewership and growing sort of, you know, a slice of the conversation, because of this 2-year wait between seasons. I think that there's a lot of potential in the cast and there's still something missing. Where do you land right now on Dubai as we've seen their sophomore season?
I enjoyed the second year. I do think it was a disservice to, like, it was in the can for so long. It's not like they waited to film it. Like, they filmed it relatively soon after they wrapped the season one reunion, but it took them, it was like they wrapped and it was more than a year later that it aired. So this footage was just sitting. And I think that was the biggest disservice of, like, you have a new show that people are only now getting used to, like, being in their rotation, and then you take it out for so long, are they going to come back to it? I also have a question for whoever's programming at Bravo of, like, why are you not taking the shows off the air the night the election stuff is happening?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Dubai reunion aired up against the presidential debate, and the New York premiere is airing up against the VP debate. And I don't think that bodes well for two shows that are, like, on the cusp of will they or won't they? It's like, maybe they don't think the Bravo viewer is watching those, but I think the majority.
But they are.
Of Americans are tuning in. So I'm, like, nervous about the New York numbers, because that was really sad to see the Dubai numbers. I don't know, like, what the streaming performance is, and maybe it's having a better time on Peacock, but I haven't, like, seen that conversation either online. I think it's a good cast. I think the issue with Dubai is like all the other cities have a vibe, and the city itself, or the state, if you're New Jersey, adds something to them. And I don't think Dubai is adding anything. Dubai, the city, is adding anything to the conversation these women are having. And they're never really talking about life in Dubai. Like, we could pick this cast up and put them in any major metropolitan city and they could film the exact same show. So I think that's the biggest issue with Dubai, is like, the you found a great cast, but is it worth filming a cast in this city? And I still think there's the cloud hanging over of like, you're really ignoring a lot of the larger conversation about people's concerns about the UAE and their laws.
Completely, completely. And I think that it just feels out of reach. It feels, it's lacking a relatability, I think. And I also just think it feels a little too studied too. Like, they haven't let their guards down fully, I think, as people, and people want to see that.
It almost feels like people who studied Housewives and then got to play it. Like, it's not, it's not, you know, we found these great characters and they don't know what the show is, and they're going, which I think is almost an impossible thing to pull off in 2024 and beyond. But it's like the conversations seem to be so much about the show, but veiled as real life stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you wanted to sit next to Andy Cohen and get in Rihanna's DMs, which somebody pointed out that if Rihanna wanted Lisa Milan's product, she would probably follow Lisa Milan, and she doesn't, which I thought was funny.
That is kind of funny.
I don't know. I hope they get another season, because
me too.
I would at least like them to get one more shot. And I do think there just needs to be like a reminder to be authentic. Like, I love Ion, but this, like, dressing up in ball gowns and being like screechy,
I'm tired of it.
Is like, it's just, I don't believe that it's you. I think you're playing the version of Ion that you think the world wants to see. But like, we've seen the heart moments. We've seen when she's gotten emotional and shown more of herself. And it's like, you need to figure out the balance. Like, Andy even called her out at the reunion of like, why did you think that was a golf outfit?
Right. And it's like, even the woman who kind of is the forebearer of the over-the-top housewife look, Erica Jane, we see her in sweats all the time with no makeup on, all the time on that show.
Yes. Like, yeah. There's a way to do it, but it's like, wear the outfits when appropriate and then be a real person when it's appropriate.
Yeah, and I agree. I hope they get another season, because, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, other than Salt Lake, which is sort of like a phenomenon from the get because of just the setup of it all, there hasn't been a new Bravo show in quite some time that has popped off from season one, other than Salt Lake. It took Summer House 3 seasons to really get the cast right. It takes shows like 2, 3, or 4 seasons sometimes to really solidify themselves. And so I hope they get that chance.
Yeah. And it seems like there's probably good casting potential there. I know there's like a former Real Housewife of Cheshire who lives there, who's like in Caroline's orbit.
Right.
I know like Sarah and Ion would like to see Nina come back. Which we got like the little peek of her at the end. Maybe as
I'm good on Nina. Nina just wasn't very great TV to me, but,
no, but I
prove
think
me wrong.
Roop, it's she was the connector. Like, she's the person everybody knew. And so I think that's where like that open room for then Stanberry and Ion to come together. But I just think there's like almost like an honesty missing from that cast. Like, they all call each other out on stuff, but then they say it's not true, but it's like, it came from somewhere. Like, Caroline, why are you not upset with Michael for even joking that he's paying your bills?
Right. 100%. And I also just selfishly don't want Caroline Stanberry taken away from us again. So.
No.
We need her.
If that happens, please move back to London. Reboot Ladies of London. You and Juliet, bring it back to us.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
And if Dubai and or any of the other ones go away, I hope they revisit Dallas, because I think now in retrospect, they may regret having let that one go, given like the numbers it was delivering today would be kind of top tier housewives. And there was like, I know we were at such like a intense, like,
yeah,
moment in the country and what the conversation was, but they've brought back people who were excommunicated from that point. And I do think like letting Leanne Locken go was the reason that show didn't work anymore. You needed it's weird that the organizing character is also the villain on that show.
Yes.
Like, you needed her. And so I hope they revisit Dallas at some point, because I do think that show, I still quote so many things from that show.
They're just hands.
She's crazy. When Stephanie like turned into the wall, then
yes,
Dolly, like I say, she's crazy all the time.
Yeah, I think that Dallas had, I was a fan of Dallas. I agree that taking Leanne out sort of broke the show, and they just didn't, it wasn't the right show to be on in that year after, and they also had a racism scandal on the show. So it was just like not the right time for them to be on TV. No.
And the way it went out with Brandy on a giant flat screen propped up.
It was bleak. Chair,
it was bleak.
It was bleak, but
I think we're getting a Tiffany Moon cameo on our screen soon on a Below Deck.
Oh, love. Okay. Love myself and Tiffany Moon. Yeah, and Dallas is a place with a lot of character, so the casting potential there, I'm guessing, is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think the issue was a lot of the like the GCBs, the good Christian bitches of Dallas, were not interested in going on television. But I think now, even 4 years later, people are more interested in it.
Exactly. Well, Bryce, this was so much fun. We went a little over on the time, but I appreciate you you doing this. I feel like overall we're in a great state with Housewives. There's a couple of big question marks, but ultimately, we're kind of veering in an optimistic direction.
Yeah, the franchise isn't going anywhere. I know people talk a lot about the longevity of these shows, but you can always reinvent, reboot, recast them. So I think we will see a version of Housewives for years, if not decades to come.
Yes. And everybody follow Bryce on socials. He does some of the best Housewives interviews out there several times a week at this point, and they're always kind of must watches. So definitely give him a follow. Great interviews.
Well, thanks, Gibson. I'm going to Salt Lake City right after we record this to get us some new content.
So. Oh, hell yeah. Sign me up for that. Bryce, thanks so much, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.